about in this world, letting God touch you in different ways that He can touch you, and He can illuminate His word to you, and He can show you things, and He can speak to you, because God really loves to speak to His children. He really loves to have that communication with us. It wasn't like, some people might think, well, God don't like to talk to us, and I can prove to you that God don't like to talk to us, because He gave us His word right here, and it was a one-way conversation, and He was just telling us how it was going to be. He was telling us in here how we can face every situation in life. Every answer we ever need is in here, and so please don't bother me, because the answer's in the book. And when you go to God and pray, He's like, what are you asking me for? It's in the book. Go to the book and look. God doesn't work that way. He's loving. He's compassionate. He has a lot of grace, and He's full of mercy. And when we go to Him, and He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, He never gets sick and tired of it. Although everything is written here, there might be times that He gets a little bit, impatient with us, as He did with the children of Israel. He gets a little frustrated. He got frustrated with the children of Israel. How many times have you gone to God in prayer over something, and when it came right down to it, the answer that you needed was found in the Word?
Yep.
It was found in the Word. God knew it was in there all along, but you're pestering Him, and you're working on Him, and He has to get through our thick heads, through our thick skulls, to get us to understand. The answer is right there in the Word. It's like it's illuminated to you, and you're like, wow, it was right there the whole time. Here, I was pestering God over something that He already answered me for. But God is good. He will always answer us, and He doesn't get tired of us. 1 Kings chapter 19 tonight, we're going to look at this. We're going to read the first 15 verses, and this is the happening of Elijah fleeing from Jezebel, and then how Elijah flees to Horeb. We could read clear down through 18, but we're not going to. But what we're going to talk about tonight, and God does that yet to us today, and it's something special, and that is, are you able to hear the whispers of God? Are you able to hear when God talks to you in that still small voice? Or does God have to talk to you in a thundering voice? Like, listen here, this is God, and I have something to tell you, and you better pay attention. And you're like, yes, God, you have my attention. Or can He speak in a still, small voice to you? That song that's sung, an old hymn, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and you commune with Him, and He speaks to you, and you speak to Him, and there's that relationship going back and forth, and it's not a thundering voice that you're hearing, but it's that still small voice of God. We're going to look at this, but in 1 Kings chapter 19, hearing the whisper of God, and Ahab, and now this is just after, to get the setting here, I could explain this after I read it, but to get the setting where we're starting, Elijah had just stood before the prophets of Baal, and God come down, and he burned up the sacrifice that Elijah had offered, where he put the barrels of water upon the sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal, and God showed them who was really God. And then, where there had been a drought in the land for so many years, and Elijah prayed for rain, and rain came. So he was on a high. I mean, things were moving, and things were shaking. God was showing His power through the work that Elijah was doing. But then somebody came after him. She didn't like what was going on. And so what did Elijah do? Although he was on a spiritual high, he fled from Jezebel. He didn't think, oh, all that power that just worked at me, I need it to work now. So let's see what he did. And Ahab told Jezebel, and Ahab was the king, and Jezebel was the queen. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. She was angry, because those were her prophets, and he slew them with the sword. I think there was 450 of them. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. He ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. He always had that servant with him, and he's left his servant in that place. And that's interesting. He was leaving a servant, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. He did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. He lodged there. He camped right out there. He spent the night there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of Israel, very zealous for you, God, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. That still small voice was a delicate whispering voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, almost a repeat of verse 10, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. The Lord said unto him, Go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then we're going to read verse 18. And I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us today as we look at this recorded history and happening in your word, oh God, that we can draw strength from this, that you can speak to our hearts tonight, God. Lord, that we can grasp a hold of that still small voice that you speak to us in difficult times and situations that we face. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. And so we listen to God, and as we listen to God, God will speak to those who listen. God will speak to those who listen. If you're not going to listen to God, he's soon going to quit speaking to you. Why is it that some parents have quit speaking to their children? Because their children won't listen to them, so there's not even any point in saying anything to some children, because they're going to do what they're going to do anyways. And it can become that way with us in our relationship with God. If God speaks to us, if God speaks to you, and you don't listen to him, why is he going to waste his time to continue speaking to you? He's probably not going to do that. Amen. And there's times that God whispers to us.
He doesn't speak in that big voice like, Hello, here I am. I am God. You will listen. You will pay attention. You will salute me. He doesn't come in that way, but he whispers to us. And why does he whisper to us? Because the whispers of God are something that is very personal. It's very personal. Have you ever had someone whisper to you? And think about that individual that whispered to you. It would be someone that was very close to you, someone that loved you. A stranger, if a stranger were to whisper to me, I would be a little bit uneasy about that and think, what are they whispering to me about? I don't even know who they are. And so God's whisper to us is personal, and he whispers to us. Amen. So if you whisper to somebody, it's probably somebody you know well. You don't go and whisper to strangers. You don't go into the store and call a stranger up and say, Come here, I have something I want to whisper in your ear. They'd be like, Oh, you're weird. Get away from me. You're not whispering nothing in my ear. Get away from me. So God whispers to us because he knows us, because he has that close relationship with us, because he trusts us, and he wants to speak to
us. And God will whisper to those that he knows well, just like you'll whisper to people that you know well. And a whisper is a special word for you. It's something that's only meant for you at that particular time and season in your life. And so this experience that we're reading about here tonight occurred after Elijah's public stand against the prophets of Baal, and after he called that rain down from heaven and it came. The Lord had shown himself to the people when Elijah's altar was consumed by fire from heaven. God showed that he really was God. And when I was growing up, we didn't have cassettes and 8-tracks. Even when I was young, all she had was these big records. And I see they're starting to come back. I was down to Walmart the other day, and I see they got a record section in there now. And I thought, that's interesting, that they're starting to come back a little bit. And we had a record. I don't know if my sisters can remember it, but it was just Bible story after Bible story. And we wore that thing out. I'm sure that we had it all full of scratches. I don't know whatever happened to that thing. It would be neat to get a hold of that and to play it to some of the younger ones today and let them hear that. But I remember in detail the story that record, on that record was the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal and the sound effects that they would put with that. And it was like, wow, it was so real to us. So all of that had just happened. All of that had just happened with Elijah. And everyone that was nearby, they witnessed God's power. They were witnesses to this. They knew that God was real, that he was powerful, that he means business. Because a fire don't come down from heaven and consume all the sacrifice that's on the altar, all the wood that's on there, especially when he poured 12 barrelfuls of water upon that altar. Wet wood don't burn well. I've been out in the woods before hunting when I was younger, and you try to make a fire, and even now a campfire, and there's a lot of us from the church who go camping over Memorial Day weekend, and when we go out and look for wood to start a fire, we don't look for wet wood. We look for the driest, most tender kind of wood or bark that we can find so that perhaps it would only take a spark and our fire would be going. But yet Elijah had that water poured over there, and God's power came down and consumed that. The people had witnessed that. Amen. And the prophets of Baal, they were defeated and killed. Then Jezebel threatened Elijah's life, and he was afraid, and he fled into the hills, because you can read that. And it says that in verse 8. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, because he was afraid that this woman was going to kill him, because she said she was. And she was the queen of the land, and she had the strings on Ahab, and she was more or less the one running the kingdom. Ahab wasn't much of a man. He listened to everything his wife would tell him to do. He wouldn't stand up to her. She threatened Elijah's life, and he fled from her. In the passage that we read there, he went to that one place, and he stayed there, and then he was fed, and he traveled for 40 days. 40 days, he left his servant, he went a day in, and then he traveled for 40 more days. And he ended up in a cave on Mount Sinai, because it talks about that. 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And there's a lot of Bible scholars that believe that that would have been the Mount Sinai that the Bible talks about. The Mount Sinai where Moses got the Ten Commandments from the Lord, where the children of Israel encamped in front of that mountain, where they made that golden calf. God led him to that place, and he went there, and he found the cave, amen, and he found the cave there in that mountain where many years before Moses had met God there. Now Elijah was there in his dry time in his life. And so think about this. When God wanted to whisper something to Elijah, he took him to a place where he knew that Elijah would listen. And when God wants to speak something to you, he's going to take you to a place in your life where he knows that you are going to be ready to listen to what he has to say. And unfortunately for some people, it ends up being on the flat of their back in a hospital bed somewhere where God will have their full attention and he can speak to them and they will listen to what he is saying. So he took Elijah to this place where he took him because it was a place that he knew that there Elijah would listen to him. What does your situation have to be in your life before you will listen to the voice of God? Does it have to be dire circumstances? Does it have to be you're at the end of your rope and you're hanging on to the knot and you hope you can hold on to the end? Does it have to be some kind of a tragedy that happens in your life? God forbid, I don't want it to be that way in anybody's life. Amen. But for many people, that's the circumstance. That's the way it is. When everything's going good in their life, God can't talk to them because they won't listen to God when everything's going good. They got the good job. They're making the good money. They're able to buy the trinkets and the things that they want. And they think it's all the blessing of the Lord. But if those things were the blessing of the Lord, it seems to me that you still would have time for God in your life. But people get so blessed that all of a sudden, the very God that blessed them gets to the point where they can't even worship the very God that blessed them. So it makes me wonder if it was really God that blessed them, or if it was just the circumstances in their life, the job they had, and they didn't manage things in a correct way. But God got Elijah to a place where he knew that Elijah would listen to him. And God, in every one of our lives tonight, he wants to get you into a place in your life where you will listen to him. Why is it that you're going through the things you're going through? Because God wants to get you to a place in your life where you'll listen to him. Yeah. It might not be harsh things that have happened to you, but there might be some uncomfortable circumstances in your life because God wants to talk to you. God wants to have your attention. When everything's going good in your life, the word some of the younger ones used to use is hunky-dory, whatever that means. When everything's going hunky-dory in your life, I don't need God to talk to me. I have everything I need. Things are going my way. And there's a song that's written in the world. Things are going my way today. It's oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. Everything is going my way. It's just wonderful. In those circumstances, I don't really need God to talk to me because I'm so blessed with all of the blessings from him. But there's times that God wants to speak to us, and he will get you into that place where he knows you're going to listen. And that's what he did with Elijah. And so when God whispers to you, it's personal and it's private. It's his message to you before it's a message to others. God will drop things in your heart. You'll hear old timers saying it this way: God dropped a nugget in my heart this week. What does that mean? God dropped a word in my heart this week, and it's really helped me, and it's ministered to me. And then as time goes on, you may be able to share that with others. And there's times, amen, the word of God is full of promises, but there's times that God will speak a word to your heart. I think of Pastor Eastman. God spoke a word to his heart many years ago, and I don't remember exactly how it was said, but it was making reference that his family was going to be saved. God dropped that in his heart. Not the worry, not the fear. Your family's going to be saved. Before his father passed away, I believe it was my own father that was able to lead his father to the Lord. Before his mother passed away, he was able to lead his mother to the Lord. He was able to lead many of the people in his immediate family to the Lord before they crossed over into death. But God had dropped that promise in his heart. He had whispered that in his ear. He had whispered that in his spirit. That was a message for him. It was very personal, and it brought a lot of comfort to Pastor Eastman. You all can probably remember the story of Sister Mildred Johnson, how that she was speaking. She was going through a hard time in her life, and she was concerned, and rightfully so. When you're going through a hard time, you're concerned about different things. Is there going to be enough food? Am I going to have enough money to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to keep clothes on the back of the family? Is everything going to be taken care of? And you're concerned about those things. And God whispered to her. She didn't say it this way, but God whispered to her and said, "Sister Johnson, my daughter, don't you have any worries, because your cupboards are never going to go bare. There's always going to be food in those cupboards for you to eat." And she testified to that fact, that probably all of us in here outside of Riley, she didn't have the opportunity to meet her, had heard her testify of that one time or another in her life. So God will speak to you in a personal way about something that's just for you. That's for other people too. We can claim the blessing of the Lord that my cupboards will never go dry. We can claim the blessing of the Lord that my household is going to be saved. I'm going to be saved and my household is. But there's something special about when you get that word from the Lord, and he drops a peace, and he drops a rest, and he drops an assurance in your heart that it's going to be okay. From that day forward, Sister Johnson wasn't concerned about whether she was going to have food in her cupboards or not. From the day forward, Pastor Eastman wasn't concerned about whether his family was going to come to the Lord, because he knew they were going to come to the Lord. God had dropped that word in his heart. And when God whispers to us, it has a purpose. He doesn't talk to us just to talk. You know, and I tend to fall into that category, if you can get me going. Some people talk just to talk. They're just talkers. You better be careful, because you're going to give an account for every word you say. The Bible teaches us that, so I'm preaching to myself here too. But God doesn't talk just to talk. He doesn't talk just to talk. When God whispers to you, he has a purpose. And we know that Elijah was a great prophet in Israel, and he was respected by the people in that country. And the prophets, the way that they did it back in that day, where they would get their spiritual leading in the country, the prophet was the spiritual guide at that time. The king wasn't the guide, but the prophet was the guide. And he would speak to them, and they were respected. And God has used the story of Elijah up to this day. It encourages us. We can receive strength from this today. He was a respected man of God, and it had a purpose. As Elijah was in the cave in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came to him. In verse 11, I think it was. I get all excited here. Amen. That the angel came to him in verse 11, and it said to him, it said, and this angel had a personal message for Elijah. And this message that he had for him, he said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Has God ever given you a personal word about where you are in your spiritual walk with him? You might be on a mountaintop, and perhaps you're not going to hear that voice then, but it's more so when you get into a slump. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come to you, and you're going to feel it in your heart. You're probably not going to hear an audible voice, but you're going to hear it in your heart. What in the world am I in this slump for? What am I in this ditch for? What am I being so oppressed about? What am I falling into this depression for? What in the world am I doing here? And in so many words, this angel was saying to Elijah, "What in the world are you doing here in this cave? What in the world is going on with you? You need to move on. You need to move from this place." And when God wanted to, or I got that part already. And so the angel came, and God had a personal message for Elijah. And that message, when it was given to him, here's what God was concerned about with Elijah, and he's concerned the same way with you. God is concerned to meet your personal need and to provide you direction. That's what he was doing to Elijah. He was concerned. He was concerned about his need that he had at that moment. And when you're down in a slump, God is concerned about that. And he is there to meet that need, to pull you out of that slump, to pull you out of that situation, and to provide you direction. God doesn't just let us go aimlessly in this world that we don't know. Man, I don't know why I'm in the mess that I am. My life is just a whirlwind. It's been turned upside down. I don't know what in the world is going on. God doesn't let his children get into situations like that. In those kinds of situations, God will speak to you. God was going to whisper to Elijah, but he wanted Elijah to listen to him. God gets you in particular situations and allows you to get in those situations because he is going to say something to you, and he wants to have your full attention when he speaks to you. God today still whispers his purpose and plans to his people today. I don't know what God wants for me. That's a bunch of baloney. You should know what God wants for you. You walk in the Spirit. You're full of the Spirit. He leads. He guides. He directs. He leads us into all truth. God whispers to us his purpose and his plan for your life. You just know that you know. Everybody else is thinking maybe your life is for this purpose and this reason, but you know what your life and you know what the purpose and reason is for your life. And I think of myself when I was younger, and we had to write a paper when we was in the senior class. I don't know if they call it a term paper. We got graded on it and everything. And you had to write a paper about what you were going to do in life and how you came about to want to do that and what you hope to accomplish in life. And I wrote, and I have that somewhere. I think, I don't know if I still have it at the house in storage somewhere. I'd like to pull that out and read it myself to see if I accomplished those things in my life. But even at that young age of being a senior in high school, mine was, on the front cover it says, to be a Protestant missionary. I knew that in high school. I don't even know if I had the calling of God yet to do that, but I apparently did because there was something down within me that I just knew that that's what God wanted me to do in life, and that's what I wanted to do, and it happened in my life. So God speaks to us today. He tells us what he wants to do. His purpose and his plans, he will speak to you. And so what I was getting at there, everybody else around me might have thought that little Tommy Eastman, he's going to be this, he's going to be that, he's going to do this, and he comes up with this idea that he's going to be a Protestant missionary. What in the world is wrong with him? Man, he could do so many other things so much better than him, a missionary. No way he can do that kind of thing. But I knew because God had spoke to me. There was no doubt in my mind. And so God's whisper, when he whispers to us, It is powerful. It'll send a chill down your spine. You'll walk out of that place knowing that you know that God has spoke to you. You won't have any doubt in your mind what it is that God has for your life, the direction that He wants you to go in. And it could be just a slump that you're in, it's something you're facing at that time. And God will speak to you, arise from this place. What in the world are you doing in this place? You don't need to be in this place. You know better than to be here. So as Elijah stood before the Lord, amen, and the Lord passed by, and this was in verses 11 and 12, and He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And so he went to the mount, and he stood before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And when the Lord passed by, there was a great strong wind that rent the mountainsides. That means that wind just tore into those mountainsides. And the mountainside broke into pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A still small voice. Sometimes we want to hear, we want to see the thunders, we want to see the lightnings, we want to see the moving of the power of the Holy Ghost, of the fire of God. There's nothing wrong with that. God can speak to us in those times, but there's times that God will just speak to you in the solace of your own home, and you'll just know that everything's going to be okay, that God's got this. And it's not necessarily in all the moving that happens in a church service. We think the only time God can speak to us is when we're at a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. And the power of God comes down. The Shekinah glory comes down. That's a good place for God to speak to us. But He can speak to us in those times when we feel so all alone. There may come a time in your life when you need to change the direction that you're heading. Elijah was headed in a direction. He needed to change the direction he was heading. You might be headed in a direction today, and you think it's all right. You think it's the will of God. And sometimes it's circumstances that puts us into a place and a situation that otherwise we wouldn't find ourselves there. Had not Jezebel been coming after Elijah, I don't think he would have found himself in that cave. I don't think he would have found himself making that 40-day journey in the wilderness. But because of the circumstances in his life, it put him into a place that he normally wouldn't have been in. And God needed to change the direction that Elijah was going in, because he was on a downward spiral. And there's times that you need to change the direction in which you're headed. Amen. Are you supposed to look for God in an adverse situation? That's a question I ask you tonight. Are you supposed to look for God in an adverse situation when something is contrary, something comes against you? Are you supposed to look for God in that? You know what we do many times when an adverse situation comes our way? We say, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You adversary, you're trying to torment me. Sometimes it might be God allowing that adverse situation to happen in your life because He wants to get you into a place where He can speak to you, where He can get your attention, because He sees the road that you're headed down, and it's not the good road. It's not going to end well if you keep going that way. God has a way of getting attention. Amen. Yes, we should look for God in an adverse situation. And in verse 12, it says, after all the wind, after the earthquake, after the fire, there was a still small voice. There was still that small voice there. It wasn't in all the moving. It wasn't in the Pentecostal service. It wasn't in the dancing. It wasn't in the running. It wasn't in the shouting. It wasn't in the prophesying. Although at times it can be in all of those things. But after all of that, it was still in that small voice. And what did Elijah do when he heard that still small voice of God? You can look at verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard that still small voice of God, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He wrapped his face in his mantle. Because why did he do that? Because the power of God was so powerful and it was so personal to him. He didn't feel worthy to be in that place. And it was an act of reverence to God. He just covered his face because he knew that he was in the presence of God. And when you get in the presence of God, you're just going to stand in awe. You're going to be kneeling in awe. You're going to be sitting in awe. And all of a sudden, all the words that you thought you had to say, you're not even going to have words to say anymore when you hear hear God beginning to speak to you. And God whispered to Elijah. And why did God whisper to him? Because Elijah was close to God and he was listening. If you want to hear the voice of God, you need to be close to God. And you need to have your spiritual ears turned, tuned in, your spiritual hearing aids turned up so that you can hear the voice of God. Because at times God will whisper to you. So many times we want God to do it this way. And we say, God, I'm looking for direction in my life. Oh, reveal it to the man of God. Oh, that the man of God would call me up to the altar and he would lay his hands on me and he would prophesy over me and say, thus saith the Lord, do thus and so. And we think that, and we could liken that to the fire and the wind and the rain and all the things that happened there. We want God to speak that way to us, but sometimes he'll just speak to us in that small voice, in that quiet time. God will whisper to us, and he whispered to Elijah. Why did he whisper to Elijah? Because he was close to God and he was listening. Are you close enough to God that you would be able to hear his whispers? Think about that. If I stood up here and I whispered to my wife back there, she's not going to hear me. Why is she not going to hear me? Because she isn't close enough to me to hear my whispers. And so if you want to hear the whispers of God in your life, you need to be close to God. You need to get yourself into a place where you're close to God. And so that's why he covered his head. He was so close to God. He was showing reverence to God. Nothing else mattered to him at that point except hearing the voice of God. And when you get so close to God and God begins to whisper to you, all of a sudden everything around you isn't going to matter anymore. All that you're going to want to do is hear the voice of God. You're going to take that cloth, that mantle, spiritually speaking. You're going to put it over your head. You're going to shut everything on the outside. You're going to shut it away from you. And it's just going to be you and God under that mantle where he can speak to you. And Elijah was doing that. Nothing else mattered to him. The only thing he wanted to do was hear his God, or to hear God's voice. Amen. To hear what God was saying to him. When God whispers to you, it's for you only. Amen. It's personal. And we need to strain to hear every word. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. God, what are you saying to me? And that's about the time when you're beginning to hear the voice of God. Your cell phone's going to go off. The dog's going to get in a fight with the cat. Somebody's going to knock at the door. The phone's going to ring. You're going to have this urgency come over your mind. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to pay that bill. It's going to be past due if I don't pay it today. And everything else begins to clutter our mind. You have to make an effort to shut yourself totally in with God for that amount of time that God wants to speak to you, because God wants to whisper to you. He has something to say to you. And God whispers, amen, when God whispers, there's a peace that envelopes us, that comes over our heart and our soul. And we just know that everything is going to be okay. God spoke directly to Elijah. He spoke directly to his needs. And what was his needs? Elijah was feeling rejected and he was feeling alone. He thought, there's nobody else that believes. Nobody believes like me. They've all bowed their knee down to Baal. They've all kissed him. They've all made sacrifice to him. There's nobody that wants to serve the true God anymore. He told it twice in this story in verse 11. And then we read it down through in the other verse in verse 14. I think it was. He said the same thing to God. He was feeling alone. He was feeling rejected. He was letting his feelings be made known to God. And it's okay to let your feelings be made known to God. But he should have been letting people know. What Elijah should have been doing at this time, instead of being shut up in that cave, instead of being out there in that mountain where he was, he should have been out there, amen, letting people know of their need for God and helping people to get back in line with God. He was the prophet. That was his responsibility. He should have been telling him, it's time for you to repent. It's time for you to get back to God. It's time for you to get back to the old paths of righteousness. It's time for you to be serious about serving God. That's what he should have been doing, but he wasn't doing that. Instead, amen, what did he do? He called fire from heaven, and that gave proof of God's power. He made Jezebel, and by doing that, Jezebel even hated him more. It seemed like it would have been better for him him, instead of going there to prove the prophets of Baal false, he should have just been standing up and preaching. You need to repent. And I'm preaching as a New Testament believer now. He wouldn't have preached quite this way. But you need to repent. You need to be saved. You need to decide that you're going to follow God. You need to forsake these false gods that you're following. He should have done that. Instead, he had that standoff with them. And in doing so, Jezebel even hated him more. Elijah, and what Elijah was doing. Why did Elijah get so down after all this happened? He was doing something that if we're not careful, we're going to do the same thing. He was measuring his success by being accepted. All these great things happened. It wasn't accepted. It wasn't appreciated. So therefore, I must be a failure. That's what he was feeling like. He was a failure. I mean, man, if you could go do that, and God worked through you, called fire down from heaven, and it burns up the sacrifice, and there's this drought going on in the land, and you're able to pray, and it rains again in the land. Man, God, you prayed for rain, and it happened. Man, you think you'd be on a spiritual high, but the people didn't accept what happened, although it was a good thing, and he felt rejected because of it. Why? Because he was measuring whether he was successful or not on being accepted. You have to be careful spiritually that you don't do the same thing. You measure your success. Well, I must be doing okay. People are acceptive to me. They like what I'm doing. They're cheering me on. I must be doing the right thing. People are not always going to appreciate what you do in the Lord, but you need to be obedient to the Lord. And so what did God tell Elijah? He told Elijah to return. And you can get into this down in verse 15, 16, and 17. He told Elijah to return and anoint new kings over Israel and Judah, and to announce Elisha as the new prophet, which he did after verse 19 there, and for these kings. And then finally, if you read through this, you're going to find that God told Elijah who would be responsible for Elisha's death. I mean, he really gives some enlightenment to him. He gave him clear direction to travel. And any time that God speaks to you, he is going to give you clear direction. This is the way. Walk in it. This is what you need to do. We need to hearken to the voice of God. God's whisper, amen, didn't say everything was going to be fine. When he spoke to Elijah, finally opened that communication with him, he didn't say to Elijah, everything's going to be fine, it's all going to work out well. He didn't say it was all going to work out well. He said, Elisha's going to be your successor, and this is the king that's going to kill Elisha, and it's not going to be a good ending for him. It wasn't always going to be a good thing that God had to say. Elijah was told the people aren't going to change, at least most of them, although some of them would. In Elisha's time, Elijah's time, verse 18 that we read tonight, he said there's still 7,000 that haven't bent down to Baal. They haven't bowed their knee to him. They haven't kissed him. They haven't followed him. Elijah was fine with God's whispering his will, and not that all would be well. And here's what we're driving at this point. He had a peace with what God said to him. And God told him, it's not all going to be fine. It's not all going to be good. But yet he had a peace. There might be times that God will speak to your heart, and you'll just know it's not going to end well for so-and-so. This situation is not going to end in a good way. But yet you're going to have a peace about it, because God dropped that in your heart. You're just going to know it's going to work out for the good in the end, no matter what happens. And he had a peace. He had a peace. He had a peace about himself. And so God whispers to us today in his word. He whispers to us. Do you expect God to whisper to you? If you expect God to whisper to you, you have to be close enough to him to hear him whisper. Does God have to knock you alongside the head, so to speak, with a 2x4 or with a club? Bam! Oh, God, that's you! Oh, what do you want, God? I mean, that's just a figure of speech that I'm using, but some people, God literally has to do that to them, has to knock them along the side of the head before they realize that God wants to say something. God wants to whisper to you. God wants to talk to you, but he wants to be close enough to you. He wants you to be close enough to him that he can whisper to you and you can hear what he is saying. And we should have a desire in our heart to be close enough to God that we can hear his whispers. And in the times that we're living in this world, amen, we have access to God's word in so many ways. And God speaks to us through His Word. Every moment of every day, you can get into God's Word. You can Google a verse. You can grab a Bible. You can download a sermon. God's Word's available to us now more than it has ever been. And that's how God speaks to us through His Word. And there's a song that's been written, and I don't know all the lyrics to it, but I know this. Word of God speak. Pour out like rain or something like that. And it goes on. That's a good song. That message part right there, at least that part of it's good. Word of God, speak to me. We're looking for direction from God. And we want, we're lazy is what it is. Spiritually, we're lazy. We want somebody to say, this is what you should do. We want a man to say to us, this is what you should do. We want a man to call us out and say, yes, what it is that you're thinking in your heart. Yes, that's God speaking to you. Go ahead and do it. But God doesn't necessarily want it to be that way. We should recognize the voice of God. We should hear the whispers of God. We should respond to the whispers of God. And that's going to happen when you're close to God. You got to get close to Him. It's time. Amen. It's time for us today to remember the many words of Jesus that's given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And He still whispers to us today through those words that are given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He still whispers to us today throughout the Bible, through the words that are given in the entire Scripture. But we think of the Psalms. God speaks to your heart today through Scriptures that are in the Psalms, that are in the Proverbs. God can speak to your heart today through the story of Job, through the story of Daniel, through the story of the three Hebrew children. God can speak to you today through things that were said to Jonah and his disobedience to God. God can speak to you today through words that Paul was given to the churches in Corinth in the New Testament. We're studying those on Sunday morning. God still speaks to us today in those ways, but yet somehow we think we need some kind of a special revelation from God. And the most special revelation that you can get from God is right here, and it's called the Word of God. This is the special revelation of God. But we want to have that secret word from God. We need to remember the many words of Jesus. He still whispers today through His Word. Whatever you're facing in your life, God has a whisper for you. God has a whisper for you. That whisper might be, you can make it. You got this. I'm on your side. And the whisper might be, hey, I'm for you. And remember, if I'm for you, who could be against you? We don't know what those whispers might be. It might be a whisper to us. There's a song, Whispering Hope for Tomorrow. You might need hope for tomorrow. You're feeling sort of helpless tonight by the things that you're facing in your life, and perhaps this week, upcoming things. You don't feel like there's any hope. But He's there, and He's whispering in your ear. He's whispering hope for tomorrow. Amen. He's telling you, you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. He's telling you, you are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Amen. He's telling you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Well, God, why am I feeling so alone? That's because you're not close enough to God. When you're feeling so alone, you need to get closer to God. Get into that place where He can speak to you. Amen. We need to remember the words of Jesus. I am with you always. I will be with you always, even unto the end. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't put you out there and just watch you suffer and just sit there and I'm sort of entertained by it, how weak you are in your faith and how the things really shook you up. Do you think God was entertained by letting Job go through the things that he went through? God wasn't up in heaven putting on a big show and all the host of heaven gathered around. God said, come on, come and see. Let's see what this man is really made of. You know, maybe this will make a good movie. Let's just sit down. This might make good entertainment. God doesn't do that with His children. He doesn't make an entertainment out of you for the host of heaven to watch and perhaps think, wow, they need more of God in their life. God is with you. He's with you always. And He said, I will supply all of your needs. Amen. According to His riches in glory. God will take care of you. When you feel alone, that's the times that God can speak to you. And when you're feeling alone, you can say, God, speak to me. Speak to me. And many times at those times, He'll speak to you through His Word. He can also speak to you through something that He just drops down in your heart that you know it's going to be okay. You know that it's going to work out. You don't know how it's all going to work out. And He might also drop the word in your heart that it's not going to turn out well. It's not going to be a good outcome for this situation. But yet in the midst of that, you're going to have a peace because God whispered that to you. Amen. Psalms 49 and 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. And so I'm ending with that tonight. Whatever situation you're facing in your life, I say to you tonight, just be still and know that he is God. Elijah, 40 days he traveled on that food that was given to him, that was prepared by the angel, that was there before him. He ate that, and he went to strength with that for 40 days. But he was being still. I believe in those 40 days, he was pondering a lot of things in his heart. Perhaps he was thinking, maybe I shouldn't have stood up against the prophets of Baal, because that's what the people want. Maybe God just wants the people just to go in their own folly. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have, you know, called that rain to come down from heaven. Maybe I shouldn't have. And in your own life, whenever you're down in a low time, you can begin to think, maybe I shouldn't have did this. Maybe I shouldn't have did that. That could be God speaking to you, but many times it's doubt arising within our own hearts. We just need to be still and know that he is God. Hold steady. God is on the throne. Hold steady. God is on the throne of your life. Hold steady. God has everything in your life under his control, unless you take that control away from him. And it's the same way. We find peace in this. All that's going on in this world, we stand here frequently and say, don't have any fear. God's not upset. God's in control of all the situations that are going on in the world. And it's easy for us to say, amen, I believe that. But what about what's going on in your life? The war that's going on in your life, the turmoil that you're facing in your life. Whenever we can say God is in control, we're thinking, well, he doesn't appear to be in control because everything's going this way, it's going that way, things are going south in my life. God is in control. Just be still and know that God's got this. God sees right where you are tonight. He's a very personal God. I don't know where each of us that are in here tonight, where we are in our spiritual walk, the battles that we're facing. But I know a God that does know, and he wants to speak to us. He will meet you where you are. So be still and know that I am God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us tonight, God. Lord, that we'll take this word to heart, that you will whisper to us, God. We will just be still. We will hold steady, God. We will know that you are God, as it says in Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. Yes, but we don't have to understand, God. We just know that you're God. We just know that you're in control. And God, that's good enough for us. Let our faith stand strong in you this night. Father, in the name of Jesus, let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen, everybody.